Our New Testament reading is from Mark chapter 4, verses 26 through 29. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is like a farmer who scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, while he's asleep or awake, the seed sprouts and grows, but he does not understand how it happens. The earth produces the crops on its own. First a leaf blade pushes through, then the heads of wheat are formed. And finally, the grain ripens. And as soon as the grain is ready, the farmer comes and harvests it with a sickle, for the harvest time has come." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Growing up, my grandpa, Grandpa Wilmer, there's not very many Wilmers anymore. Grant, could we have named you Wilmer? Upgrade? No, we'll stay with Grant. My grandpa Wilmer kept the best garden. He lived in this tiny town, Brewster, Washington. Has anybody heard of it? It was 1,000 people. Really? Wow. That's amazing. A little tiny town on the Columbia River. My grandpa lived there, and grandma lived there their entire lives. Grandpa was a lab tech at the hospital, and he was quiet. He was unassuming. He's one of my heroes. He was so kind. I take credit for getting him to raise his voice the only time I think that ever happened in his entire life. Another story for another time. But he was an amazing, kind, gentle man, and he kept the best garden every year. It was kind of amazing. Grandpa's garden was at least the size of this sanctuary. Rows of everything. This was not an ornamental garden for fun, although he obviously deeply enjoyed it. But he grew food. They grew amazing squash, rows of corn, which then, you know, we spent a long time cutting off the ears and freezing so we'd get to eat it later in the winter. Rows of raspberries. When my cousins and I would play hide and seek at Grandma and Grandpa's house, I inevitably hid in the raspberry bushes because raspberries. It was the best. Play hide and seek and snack. I remember going out there with Grandpa and watching in the morning as he would water the plants every day, as he would make sure that it was weeded, as he would tend to them, make sure they were fertilized and growing well. And then going out there with Grandpa as the harvest progressed and being able to fill up baskets full of carrots and beets and squash and bringing those in and then watching Grandma start to cook them for lunch, right? Amazing. It is such a beautiful and wonderful thing to be able to partner with this world, with God, in this generation of life. It is very easy, we've heard this story and this parable so many times that we almost take it for granted. But it's kind of a surprising parable, especially given the context. For Hebrews, the center of religious life was not the soil. For Hebrews, the center of religious life was the temple. Everything about God and religion centered around temple life. If you asked a Hebrew where God's presence was on earth, what would they say? In the most holy place. And who gets to go in the most holy place? Only the high priest, only once a year, right? Who gets to go into the regular sanctuary? Only a priest and once a day would go in for sacrifice and come back out. If who got to go into the courtyard? Jewish men. Sorry, ladies. There was actually a courtyard of the women outside of that. And outside of that, there was a courtyard of the Gentiles, and that's how far you could go, and there was a wall that showed you how close you could get to God. And so for Jews, when they begin, and if you weren't ceremonially clean, you of course could not even go into those places. And it was very much about to approach God, to get close to the kingdom of God. It was difficult. Only certain people were allowed into God's presence. And so when you conceived of the kingdom of God, it was very often like a temple where only the holiest and the most important could probably get closest to the presence of God. More like a fort than a field. And so when Jesus says, to what can I compare the kingdom of God? And he says, it is like a farmer scattering seed in the soil. It is a bit of a surprise. Because everyone is scattering seed in the soil, right? Not only that, but this is a much more organic view of God and the gospel and the kingdom of God than we're used to. Well, at least than they were used to at the time. They would very much have viewed the kingdom of God as something far more mechanistic, organized, an organization over an organism. But when Jesus compares the kingdom of God to something, he says it's like a seed in the soil. And like I told the kids, I think plants are an amazing confluence of life, right? Without any of the factors, it doesn't work. A farmer can have soil. He can have air. He can have sunlight. He can have water. Does anything grow?
Weeds.
No, not without a seed. Even the weeds don't get to grow without seeds, right? The weeds are just really good at putting seeds out there for the entire world to enjoy. My biology teacher said the only difference between a weed and a plant is that a weed is a plant growing somewhere you don't want it to. Very subjective definition. The life doesn't happen without the seed. But the seed won't grow without the other factors as well. Well, weeds will pretty well, but even a weed won't grow. I've been to Nevada. Even weeds won't grow without soil and water. Those rocky deserts have nothing in them. And if they get some water, you can have some life. But Jesus says that the kingdom of God, that a plant is this amazing and somewhat miraculous confluence of a seed, of soil, of a farmer being willing to place it there and care for it, of sunlight and water. And it produces something amazing, right? Like a seed doesn't just regenerate one seed. You plant a grain of wheat and it produces a head with dozens and dozens of wheat grains in it, if not hundreds. It's the incredible abundance of the earth. I think this says so much about God. God created this planet, right? He created this world. He created, gave it to us. As Reverend Schrader reminded us, when God walked the Israelites into the promised land and gives it to them, he says, this world is a gift to you. Which, of course, reminds us of the Genesis 1 creation narrative, where when God creates humans in his image, he creates the world first, then he creates humans and says, I am giving you this place that is good, and you bear my image, and you are co-creators of me with it, and you get to go out there, and your effort here bears fruit. When you do this, when you plant these seeds, when you tend for them, when you care for them, they produce a harvest. We get to grow our own food. I'm such a fan of food that we're following this up. I hope everyone got the memo that you're invited to a feast after this in the fellowship hall. I'll quit talking here soon so we can go do that. But that this gathering together, we are the only species on earth that actually grows our own food. We assist in the production of what gives us life. We can't go without it. And yet we are participants in this, right? Like the seed doesn't happen without the farmer, and the farmer doesn't happen without the seed. And Jesus says that this is like the kingdom of God, that we can learn incredible and amazing things about God's work in this world by witnessing the process of a seed growing and maturing and producing fruit, incredible amounts of people. How is this like the kingdom of God? This must mean that God's work in this world is done as a partnership with us, right? Like, we can't make a seed. There's not a laboratory out there that can manufacture a seed. There is an incredible amount of God's inherent gift of life in us, in this place, in the kingdom of God, that we can't manufacture. It is. But we can absolutely partner with it, right? In fact, without our partnership, Jesus kind of hints that the kingdom of God doesn't do what the kingdom of God should do. If without the farmer, there's probably just going to be a lot of mustard, weeds. It is ironic, I think, that right after this, Jesus says the next thing he compares the kingdom of God to is a mustard seed. Pliny the Elder in 79 AD wrote that mustard, while it may have some health benefits and should be eaten freely, one should never plant it in one's garden because you will never get it out. It will take over everywhere. And this too is like the kingdom of God. How amazing and delightful is that? That the kingdom of God is a pernicious weed in your life, and you will never get it out. And it is going to take over everything. Can I get an amen? This is good. This is wonderful news. When Jesus starts using these metaphors and these illustrations about what the kingdom of God is like, he is saying that it's this organic thing growing and bearing fruit in us. It is a thing growing and bearing fruit through us and around us, and that we are all invited into this incredible, bountiful process of bearing fruit and a harvest that is so generous and abundant that we'll never come to the end of it. This is amazing. The Israelites, when they get into the promised land, I actually think it's a really, they had four major feast days. There was only four times a year where they all had to gather together. And two of these were focused around the harvest. At the start of it, they brought in their first fruits as a reminder that these were all from God. And then, I love this, it says in Deuteronomy 16:9, count off 7 weeks from when you first begin to cut the grain at the time of harvest. Then celebrate the festival of the harvest to honor the Lord your God. Bring him an offering in proportion to the blessings you have received from him. This is a time to celebrate before the Lord your God at the designated place of worship. Celebrate with your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, the Levites from your towns, and the foreigners, the orphans, the widows. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, and so be careful to do all of these things I have told you. What a beautiful institution. That this festival of harvest, this abundance, that we partnered, this wouldn't be here without you. None of it. And yet, you couldn't manufacture any of those things. You partnered with the seed, with the soil, with the sunlight, with the water. And it produces an abundance. Which then, of course, the text mentions is not just for ourselves, right? Include the foreigner, the alien, the widow, the orphan. That this abundance that God does in us and through us is, of course, for us. It is for us to be celebrated. And that this celebration is big enough and broad enough to include everyone around us as well. That is what the kingdom of God is like. A harvest so rich that there's room for everyone. A harvest that involves every single one of us in helping bring it to fruition. There is some sweat and some toil involved in this. It didn't just happen. You brought it here. There's incredible dignity and purpose and meaning in the work we do. That is a deep part of this parable as well, is that no matter what our job is, whether it's growing pistachios or reconciling bank statements or taking care of the elderly or helping children learn, that work is a partnership in the kingdom of God, and that work is holy, and that work bears fruit that is eternal. This is the kingdom of God. This is the invitation that we too get to partner in an organic world that grows things, that our lives, our relationships, our connections with the people around us, our kids, our spouses, our coworkers, our neighbors, our enemies, that all of these relationships are a fertile field that God is at work in, where the kingdom of God is looking for ways to sprout and blossom and grow and bloom, that like mustard, it is taking over everything. And so we take times like today where we come together and we celebrate. After 6 days of creation, God stops his work. And he rests, and he celebrates. And the rabbis said that the work was never complete until it was celebrated. I think that's something important for us to remember. This work, it's not complete until we gather together and celebrate it. And that's what we're doing today. This festival of Harvest Home is very much a celebration that this work we have been given, this invitation into cooperating with God, with this world he has given us, bears fruit, and we can come in with gladness and joy, recognizing that God is at work in this, that God is at work in us. And that gives us hope, even when we're dealing with plague and war and hardship and aging and all of the other problems and difficulties and stresses that we may face. We remember when we gather together and celebrate that God is bearing eternal fruit through all these things. And we can celebrate with joy. Got a call at 2 a.m. Friday night. I actually got two calls. The first time I didn't even know what it was and just somehow hit my phone and it went off and I could not figure out what had happened. It immediately started buzzing again, and by that point I was awake enough to figure out how to right swipe and answer. Hello, this is Dan. The police dispatcher said that they needed a chaplain, that there'd been an unexpected death, and gave me the address. So I got up, grumbled a little bit, put on my chaplain uniform, and headed out the door. I got to the house and walked in, and Edwin had died. He was 89. He had been married to his wife, Ann, who was sitting by his side, for 70 years. They met when he was 19. Well, they got married when he was 19 and she was 16 because her mom had made her wait 2 years. Wise. Seems like a wise choice. Abby, you can't get married until you're like 25. No, I don't get to say after 21, but but totally not before then. They had the most amazing, I had never met either of them before that, but they had obviously had the most amazing relationship. The integrity he had lived with his three daughters were there as well. And we're talking about how much care and compassion and love he had poured out on them. They were sitting there grieving his loss, but in almost everything they said, there was so much gratitude for the way he had cared for them, the way he'd loved them, the way he'd protected them, the way he'd provided for them. It was inspiring. That is the fruit love bears. That is the kingdom of God present in us and through us. That this way that we invest ourselves in this world is very much bearing fruit. It wasn't just his three daughters. They had kids, and those kids had kids. Edwin had gotten to hold his great-great-granddaughter the day before. The way that we love, the way that we attend to these seeds, this kingdom of God that is a gift to us and present around us, bears eternal fruit. I believe in this life and the life to come. It matters. And it comes to us as grace. We can't make the seeds. We can't manufacture love. But we sure can tend to it. We can water it. We can help it grow. We can pull out the weeds that want to choke it out. This festival and celebration of harvest is a celebration of God's grace and love in this world. And it's a celebration we each get to celebrate, enter into, and partner with as God moves in us and through us. Let's stand and sing our hymn, We Gather Together, number 81.